Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi folks, it's Jordan here from VGC, a video game podcast, wishing you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. For this week's episode, I've put together a little best of with some of my favourite moments from the year of VGC, a video game podcast. Now, this isn't all-encompassing. I would obviously recommend that you go back and listen to every show, but this is just a few of the bits that made me laugh. Be warned, this is a bit of a sweary episode because, you know, when we stop talking about video games and start talking nonsense, some of those swear words do come out, although we have made sure to include the biggest stories of the year, e.g. the fall of Jim Ryan and, Redfall. Have a listen, let me know what you think, and thanks for all of your support in 2023. We will be back in 2024 with VGC, a video game podcast, with all new guests. If there are any guests that you would love to see on the show, let me know on Twitter at Jordan Midler. As always, thanks to Grant Kirkhope for use of the VGC podcast theme, and we will see you in 2024. Happy New Year.
Don't do that many jobs. I do like two jobs, John. Two.
It's not as rosy as it used to be.
No. I do feel like I'm leaving a lot of money on the table, John. It's just my addiction to playing, what was that game I was playing last year? Teardown. I can't stop playing Teardown. I'm back on the Teardown, guys.
There's a weird TikTok trend of Teardown videos where this guy who has, let's say, a trans-European accent, right, it could be from anywhere, okay, on the mainland, yeah, where he drives cars into, like, monsters in Teardown. So it's these, like, unlicensed versions of, like, Five Nights at Freddy's monsters.
Oh.
And he's like, oh, wow, this car is really going to destroy this monster. And it gets, but he speeds it up a bit.
Oh, nice.
I'm sitting watching it, and I'm like, why have I watched like five of these in a row? I'm poisoning my own algorithm.
So this is the new thing with Teardown. You can kind of create Minecraft style. You can kind of basically spray paint in three-dimensional space. Mm. The voxels required to presumably make one of the characters from Five Nights at Freddy's. So these guys, it sounds like it's going for the children market.
Oh, yes.
Unlicensed video for kids sort of business, right? Okay. Interesting.
Yes, it's very, there's some creepy horror game that's kicking about now that plush versions of the main character are hanging about in every vape shop in Glasgow.
Oh, like, yeah, I know. Yeah, like, isn't it a Five Nights at Freddy guy? He's like got a triangular mouth and he's got big teeth.
And he's like long.
Yeah.
Long body.
I'm glad that I'm making you sound incredibly old, John. But he's a definite character and he's everywhere, and he's been everywhere for the last year and a half. And I saw him at the car boat. They just suddenly started appearing at the car boat. But you never see a kid with one. They're just at the car boat.
Yeah.
Kids don't actually like it. Long triangular mouthed monster man boy child.
I'm being told by my producer that Gengar Fan 93 that the character is from a game called Poppy Playtime, and the character is called Huggy Wuggy.
Huggy Wuggy, yes, he's a Huggy Wuggy. I'm glad that you haven't got a mechanical keyboard that clacked away as you were getting that message.
Here's an article from Forbes from 2022. The Huggy Wuggy YouTube panic explained.
Yes, Slenderman it was, and then now it's Huggy Wuggy. What's going to be next?
Yeah, it's weird. Every vape shop in Glasgow has Huggy Wuggy and Prime. That's it. That's all they sell.
We've got Prime. Yeah, the vape shops don't even pretend they sell vape juice anymore. They just very much kind of like say, well, we've got some Prime in, for crying out loud. We'll stick that in your vape.
I don't know if you've been into a proper vape shop, but it's like they treat it like an Apple store. Like the person comes out from behind the counter and goes, "Hi, how you doing? How are you getting on for your cores? Have you got enough coils?
There's
enough of this little liquid
there's
that's
nothing
turning your lungs black?"
Men won't turn, and it is men turn.
Yeah.
Turn into like computer enthusiasts, car mechanic guys. There's nothing that there's not a hobby they won't turn into the geekiest fucking thing in the world. Guitar tech, everything's just so nerdy and precise, and when they're not, they barely do the thing that they like. They just go on forums and talk about the thing that they like.
I'd prefer it to be much more like under the table, like have to ask for. There was a rumor going about that my local chippy, if you asked for a pizza with cheese, they would just give you a lighter and 10 fags.
Okay, nice.
I don't know if that ever actually came to pass. Glory days.
Yeah.
Well, I really hope Gamescom happens, because I have booked what is probably the sketchiest hotel in Cologne.
I've got a long experience of sketchy hotels in Cologne at this point, mate. Like 15 years worth.
It looks like there's like two hospital beds like placed together.
Wow.
But the breakfast looks nice, so that's really all you're asking for when you're traipsing through a big convention center.
I went like to that. The weirdest Gamescom I had was the year I was pregnant. And I went, and I'm like, I was massive. And I was like waddling the halls. And like, nobody had any idea how to deal with a pregnant games journalist. I don't think it had ever happened. I genuinely think nobody had ever encountered this problem before. And it was the year that they were doing, you know, that Resi demo, the Resi demo, was it the kitchen demo? The one where you get beheaded in it and everything in VR. So I turned up at Capcom and they took a look at me, took a look at the, and they were like, we don't think you should play this. I was like, okay, can I watch someone else play it? They were like, we think that's best. So I watched some poor Capcom guy like do the demo, and I was just watching the screen while they were in VR. And I was like, well, I really feel like I've experienced this as much as I want to. At this point, I just loved the idea of them like freaking out the pregnant games journalist so much that like I went into labor on the show floor. Would have been quite a story.
That would have been great PR though if that had happened.
That's like a mid 2000s.
Not so much for you.
for some Resident Evil game or some horror game, they had like body parts around London and then lost some of them.
Weeks
later, they were like, if anyone comes across like a plastic arm, could you return it?
Was that the year they did the butcher shop and they made like human? Yeah, because all made of meat, so it would have been slowly deteriorating. Oh my god!
Yeah.
No,
some guy's like taking the bins out at his work, and there's just an arm like slowly melting to dust. Like, oh god,
that's not as bad as the God of War party, though, is it?
Where they killed the goat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was infamous, wasn't it? I was not there.
I wasn't there.
It's one of the.
I was not
there. I
wasn't there, but I hear a lot of magazines had to be pulped. Official PlayStation covered it. A magazine covered it in great detail with detailed images, and then had to pull the every issue and reprint it. That was grim.
Turns out it's not in the greatest taste to live slaughter a goat at a promotional marketing event for a video game.
Nah. Better days, if you ask me. This is the games industry that when I was like a kid, I was reading about it, I was like, this is going to be fucking quality. And now I get into it, and it's like flights to like nice wee hotels, go and play the game, flights home. It's none of this debauchery.
I feel like Chris and I got in right at the end of the wild era of when magazines were, you know, selling hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, because we'll have both heard stories from before our time that were just outlandish, and like we had some pretty outlandish. I remember they don't do these awards anymore, but I'll probably not name check them just in case someone's involved. But there was a regular media award for the
what
games.
What could you possibly
industry.
Be talking about?
I've got about nine of them on my shelf back there.
well, some of us weren't so lucky. And it had like one of them was at like a burlesque bar, and then one of them was at like a normal venue, but then like they had that sponsorship with a certain independent games retailer which ended up with like condoms in the tables and stuff like that. That was like the glory days.
God, it was so pathetic. That was the thing, like it was so sad, you know. It's like, oh man, like I remember hearing stories about like the Tomb Raider 2 preview where I think they flew everybody to Egypt for like a week and a half, and everybody had magazine deadlines, right? So it's not like now where you have to write everything up like the second it happens. It has to be on the internet like in moments. It was literally like they would see the game for 3 hours, and then spend 5 days in Egypt and then like have to write 300 words on it when they get back. I'm like, Jesus, that is a very different job from the one that I've been doing all this time.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's this infamous person who used to cover games for one of the tabloids, who used to just turn up to every single thing, all these things, all these trips, and then like 100 word column once a week. That was how it was. Yeah. What a cushy job. Yeah.
Crazy days. Sorry, Jordan, we're massively derailing your news.
Oh, no,
with our stories.
It's what old people do, Jordan. We reminisce. You can't really, you just have to like sit there and go, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Just let us do it.
Do you remember Space Offers?
You talk, Chris, how long's your IMDb?
Fuck, mate. Don't get me started on my IMDb. It's fucking, can't move for Oscar nominations.
Well, that's because of your alter ego, Dame Helen Mirren, isn't it?
That's true. I was in a Lemmings documentary once. I don't know if that counts.
That's the most on-brand thing ever. I'm surprised that you were never in one of those like mid-2000s Charlie Brooker game programs, because you were
I wasn't in the loop. I'll tell you what I was in, and this is apologies for pushing your runtime over.
Oh, Ethan, let's just leave. He'll be going for an hour about this. Some long-held grudge.
Sorry, it ends with me looking like a prick, so it's fine.
Okay.
I was asked to do one of those, I remember the 80s of fucking shows. It was on National Geographic because they fucking love that stuff. And it was called like the 80s, the decade that made us, or something like that. And obviously one bit was video games, and they were talking about Pac-Man and the Game Boy and all that. And I went there and had like a proper like 2 hour chat with them about, well, tell us about Pac-Man, tell us about Space Invaders, tell us about that. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And they used fucking 10 seconds of it. Like, it was one of these talking head things, and I was like the head that said the least. And they basically gave two sound bites for me. And the first sound bite was me going, Pac-Man is a game where you play as a little yellow man eating dots. And then they cut to somebody else. Well, thanks for my fucking expertise there. You could have like dragged someone off the street to do that. And then the second one was me. And then the second one was me saying, oh, apparently the creator of Pac-Man says that it appealed to women because they liked eating, and that was why he thought women liked playing it. I'm like, so you exposed me as an idiot and then give me one sexist joke, and that's the only thing I fucking contributed to that whole show.
Sounds like it was edited by one Jordan Middle. That's exactly how I would watch it.
What were you doing in the mid-noughties?
I was in primary school at that point, so...
I was in prison.
I was doing a pen stretch.
Andy must have told you this one at some point, Jordan. Was it the E3 when they announced the DS? So maybe 2004 or something like that. And the then... I'll not name the person, but the then official Nintendo magazine before Future took over, the whole team went to E3 to cover it, and they get sent into this kind of like a secret kind of for VIP press where they had loads of DSs all set up, and all they had was Pictochat. And the whole point was like, I know that, and you know what's coming. And the whole point was to like, they were all linked up so you could pick to chat with other people, and they had big massive screens up, like show, which they didn't realize, right? And this chap in particular did what everyone would do and drew an enormous dick. And like, as I understand it, because this is before my time, it was very detailed. even by PictoChat standards, and then apparently he was informed by a member of Nintendo staff that this massive penis was on display on this giant screen, and that these screens were being shown to people standing in the queue, like waiting to get in, like to the main kind of consumer bit, and apparently turned around and saw Miyamoto just shaking his head disappointed.
You have disappointed the father of video games.
If you disappoint Miyamoto, you're like,
wow.
Oh, no.
I'd never get over that. I'd just lie down on the ground and never get up again.
Be the end.
PlayStation CEO Jim Ryan is stepping down. This was confirmed last night in a quote. Sony Interactive Entertainment today announced that SIE President and CEO Jim Ryan has made the decision to retire in March 2024 after almost 30 years with the PlayStation business. To support Mr. Ryan in his transition, Sony Group Corporation President, COO and CFO Hiroki Totoki will assume the role of Chairman of SIE effective October 2023, and effective April 1st, 2024, Mr. Totoki will be appointed interim CEO of SIE. Now, before we get into some of the quotes around this, Chris, did this come as a surprise to you?
No. No, I didn't know. PlayStation, Sony, it's not even just PlayStation, it's Sony execs of any leadership. They tend to be about 5-6 years, 10 years. Jim isn't a young man. In an interview I did with him a little while ago, short during the pandemic, you could tell that the pandemic was actually a bit of relief because it meant that he didn't have to fly. Well, I mean, he didn't have to fly to the US all the time. I had a chat with him once just before an interview I did where he said he has missed a few birthdays and things as a result of it. So I very much got the impression that he wasn't far away from saying goodbye. And here it is. So no, it didn't surprise me that he's retiring. I was expecting it at some point soon. Because you know, Andrew House, I think, was 6 years. Kaz Hirai went further up management, but he was about 5 years as well. So it's not, it's sort of in that sort of ballpark.
Jim cited difficulties juggling his home life in Europe with responsibilities in North America. As you said, quote, "After 30 years, I have made the decision to retire from SIE in March 2024. I've relished the opportunity to have a job, and I love this very special company, working with great people and incredible partners, but I found it increasingly difficult living in Europe and working in North America. I will leave having been privileged to work on products that have touched millions of lives across the world. PlayStation will always be part of my life," etc. and so on. Andy, this was a lovely get out of bed at Thursday and on a Wednesday night situation. But yeah, again, a surprising one or natural order?
It's very symbolic of Jim's reign that he made me get out of bed at 11 p.m. for a very US time zone targeted announcement. It is literally only PlayStation that does that as well, by the way. I'm not going to say anything exciting, exactly what Chris said. If you look at the reigns of the previous presidents and CEOs, he's within that. He doesn't look unusual. He's not a young man. You could almost like sense, as Chris kind of alluded to, you know, during his time that it was, you know, wasn't much fun trying to, you know, bridge the Atlantic Ocean all the time with his responsibilities. I'm not surprised, to be honest. He always seemed like a safe pair of hands. He's got the console out. It's doing really well. You know, nothing's fallen apart. At the same time, nothing particularly original or exciting is going on. But yeah, That's clearly not his mandate. Now's probably for someone else to come in and then, you know, kind of hopefully contribute on top of that.
It's interesting with these CEO changes because Andrew House instigated the change where PlayStation was going to become a global entity in the US, right? And then he left, and that became Jim Ryan's thing. And that's his accomplishment in a way, is he centralized PlayStation. But it was something that started before him. And what he started is this move to live service and mobile and started talking about that, really, and PC and that sort of movement. But he's not going to see that through either. So he sort of started all that off. Developers are working on it. And now it'll be the next person to come in to see PlayStation transition to that thing. And that's the thing that interests me, because PlayStation's CEOs have always been people that were there at the start. You know, Jim was there at the beginning, as was Andrew House. You know, they were there right at the birth of all of PlayStation. We're going to get that these times? That was 30 years ago.
Yeah, do you know what? That crossed my mind as well, is that I know he's not got a great reputation with a lot of the PlayStation fans. I mean, he loves a gaffe and stuff, and obviously he's done some... there have been some unpopular decisions during his reign, closing Japan Studio and stuff, which I don't think is specifically tied to him. However, it did cross my mind that, well, you know, if this guy's unpopular, the guy who comes next is not going to be a 30-year company veteran, almost certainly. It's probably going to be a marketing guy from the US who's going to absolutely double down on everything that personally I find particularly uninteresting about PlayStation. It's going to be more very, very Western, you know, AAA safe games.
Yeah, I don't. It's
I think they're just going to look more and more like Xbox, and I don't mean that as a negative thing necessarily. I mean, like, you know, some deviation would be nice, wouldn't it? I mean, they used to bring the flare PlayStation. I mean, I'm being the old man again, but they used to, you know, come up with the hugely original stuff, the regional flavour.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just the last kind of 10 years, they've just been slowly moving more towards just being the American company.
Yeah, I miss the old... I've had a conversation with Jim with this many times, and it's just the way the industry is now. It's almost impossible to... They view it as sort of they can't continue like that, but the old localised, like you had Europe and Japan and the US, and they all basically did their own thing. And Europe, that's why Invisibles was a thing, and it's the way Japan Studios... Because Invisibles was popular in Spain, so Europe going, yeah, we'll keep doing Invisibles. But the US didn't care. And Japan didn't care, but now it's all centralized. Those decisions are going, well, no, we're not making a game that's just popular in Spain. And it's and you've got that sort of and I think that's what made it popular in the first place, PlayStation, was that regional thing. And I think what they're trying to do is have their cake and eat it, be globalized. But the problem with that is decisions took too long, and this is the point they've often made, is that, you know, if a big platform-wide decision needed to be made, you need to get Europe on board, you need to get Japan on board, get US on board. And by moving it all into one, they can go, right, we're going to head in this direction and do it quickly. So I understand why they did it, but I do think they've potentially lost something along the way. But, you know, I don't think the strategy will change, because I don't think you can... What are you going to do? I don't think it's like Xbox, where they went, right, change all of management, bring someone else in, and we're going to scrap all those games they were working on. So, you know, they're not going to come in and go, right, you eight studios making live service games, you're not doing it anymore. I don't think that's... That's going to happen, but it's a difficult decision from Sony to decide, you know, who they bring in, because you might want to bring in somebody from the outside who's got live service experience and mobile experience. Maybe even new stars.
I reckon Risatello will be out of a job soon.
Yeah, Phil Harrison's about, isn't he?
What's Don Matrick up to these days? The biggest transfer saga of all time. Chris, is this a good time for him to step away? PlayStation's position seems pretty strong.
Yeah.
They've maybe not got a ton of stuff announced that we know of, but surely like their lineups are pretty set for the next couple of years.
Yeah, PlayStation don't have much of a... We don't know what their slate's like post-Spider-Man, really, but they... When you're this dominant, you know, Star Wars is a PlayStation game, right? And Call of Duty's a PlayStation game, and FIFA's a PlayStation game. You know, they don't necessarily need the exclusives to drive things in the way that perhaps the other platforms do. But it's actually Ryan's tenure has been hugely successful. Right? That console's grown its market share. If anything, it's they're more profitable than they've ever been. Their game's still getting great reviews. They're doing extremely well. If, you know, it's an enviable position to have, I think, to be in. So there's never a good time to leave. Particularly in the games industry where everything's changing all the time, I think. But if you're going to leave now, it's probably the time to do it. Rather than at the end of a platform console generation or the start of a new one.
Andy, do you think that the next leader will be in the Phil Spencer mode of kind of he's your mate, he's a gamer just like you, he's a bit more front facing? That always seemed to be a criticism of Ryan compared to Phil Spencer.
No, I don't see why they would rock the boat if everything's working, to be honest. I don't see what the incentive would be for that.
Is there any like actual, Chris, you might know this, when Jim Ryan would come out and say these things that would go crazy on Twitter, like why would people play old PlayStation games and all the Believe in Generation stuff, did that have any material backlash in the real world, or was that an exclusively Twitter centralized?
I don't think Sony care. I mean, a lot of the times those sort of, and the thing is contextually, right, you need to think about, cause some of those questions, some of those quotes are things from interviews I did. Right. And I would ask the question and it would trigger an answer. And in the We Believe in Generations is a big thing that people throw around quite a lot, because obviously then they made a load of games accessible to PS4. But that was kind of a retroactive. That was a few issues on that. It was like PS5 didn't because of the pandemic didn't hurt. So I had to sort of course correct. But also he didn't mean every game was going to be a PS5 exclusive. It was taken a little literally. And I often think sometimes if you listen to the context of what his answer, you think, like when he said, oh, why would you play that old Gran Turismo game, was his point was about he was trying to defending backwards compatibility things. But it was my understanding, and obviously I don't speak to everybody at Sony, and I'm sure there are people there that hated his guts, but PlayStation UK used to call him Uncle Jim, right? The Andrew House called him his secret weapon and sort of the secret behind his success and all this kind of stuff. You've got Shahid, who's used to be the indie head of indies at PlayStation Europe. He's just done a little tweet about it. He actually was in, did a keynote talk back in April calling Jim Ryan his hero and his inspirational leader and all this kind of stuff. Like, he was well liked internally, from at least from the people that I know. So I don't think it was... He doesn't have the PR sparkle of Andrew House or the sort of gamer cred of... but actually, I'd argue that actually that's not the job of the manager. The job of the manager is to look after your teams, make sure they've got everything they need to deliver the things that they need to you want them to deliver, and then let Insomniac and Herman Holst and all those people talk about games and titles. The CEO's job really is to run a business.
I can't, you know, from the track record recently, I can't see it being anything other than a US pick. Now it's going to be exactly, it's going to be a Zelnick style guy with a six pack. Who's excellent at dropping zingers, you know, during conference calls.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, we'll always remember Jim Ryan from that Gamescom press conference when the camera crash zoomed into him and he could clearly see it on like a monitor or something like that because he got a big fright and it was in the middle of talking about the
PS4. That his first one?
That's the first time I remember seeing him up on stage.
He was given 3 days' notice, I think. I can't remember the exact time. It was really short notice that he was having to do that press conference. And he's never done anything like that before. Right? And he had to stand in front of a huge audience and present PlayStation. And he was not a public speaker. And it was, I'd love it. I didn't know about that camera. That's not come up. Maybe I'll talk to him about it.
You should. It's an iconic moment. Well, another great Geordie in the video game industry. Down. Speaking of, proud to announce that me and my partner are expecting to buy more Pokemon cards, because that's all I've been doing for the past month. Video games are done. I'm a Pokemon card man.
Now, I recently opened on stream some AEW cards, and I was annoyed that they didn't have any bubblegum in them. I was annoyed that they were all a torrid of fetid rubbish. And it just seemed like very much... You get a bit of bubblegum in the Pokemon. No, this is a bit of bubblegum you found.
No, this is from these Japanese gacha balls that I bought at Tokyo Toys.
Oh, lovely.
That honestly, they should come with a warning being like, do not ingest the bubblegum that comes with them.
That's a silica packet. Stop eating it.
It feels like a tooth. Like, it is that kind of consistency?
Yeah, really hard to... Is it just like a Nana's boiled sweet, maybe? In a packet? Maybe, eat someone straight. I want to know what the Pokemon gacha chewing gum is.
For episode 100, I'll eat anything. Did you get anyone good in your EW cards?
No, we got one of... I can't remember which character it was. It was an older pugilist's, a bit of his costume stuck to a bit of card. It's always problematic buying wrestler's clothes, I think. Mark, the host of Wrestle Me for a Joke, decided to buy me a card with a bit of Asuka's costume, presumably Asuka's pants or something. I think it's problematic. I'm one of those people who now own women's clothing all chopped up like a murderer.
Former video game journalist Asuka.
Yeah, she did a bits and bobs, didn't she? A bit of graphic design. Her Kana-chan YouTube page is her going back and forth to shows and just playing Zelda. She just bought a Rogue Ally from Walmart, which is quite... And it's all very ASMR because she barely speaks, but just watching her like prep a bit of food in her massive sort of, I presume somewhere like Texas or something, her massive kind of like...
I think they all live in Florida tax reasons.
Of course.
Anything goes in Florida.
Yeah, really lumpy Teletubby little kind of like complex that she lives on. Her cooking some ramen in the street is always a lot of fun. So real kind of a relaxing watch, Asuka's YouTube channel. But we didn't come here to talk about wrestling. We came to talk about your Pokemon haul. What did we get this week, Jordan?
So we're between sets. They release a new big set like four times a year, and the next set will be out like next weekend. So I'm itching. I'm like rattling for new Pokemon cards. So we're just buying anything that's moving. We'll be like in the middle of the day. It'll be like lunchtime, and it'll be like, should we just pop down to the Smiths and buy a couple of cards? So we were in Smiths, right? And they lock the cards behind this wee desk.
Exactly, because criminals are young and they just want young things. Traders, Bitcoin, it's all for kids.
Pokemon cards. So we go up there and we're looking at the cards. And this guy, who must be no older than like 17. He has the most 17-year-old mustache you've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He looks like he stinks of Link's Africa. Starts going like, so you collect Pokemon cards? And it's like, no, mate, I'm just here for a fucking laugh. Of course I collect Pokemon cards. Look at me. Look at my general age. Of course I collect Pokemon cards. And he's like, I've had some up the loft. You know, they can be worth quite a lot. And I hate doing this. And I refuse to do it. It's like if I was in game and someone started talking to me about a game, it would be the equivalent of me being like, mate, I completed that about a month ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You cannot tell me anything about video games. So instead, I just try and like one word response to them. I'm just like, yeah, yeah. But he will not stop. He's like almost peering over the glass while we are trying to look at these cards.
Well, like, so telling you your business effectively.
Ah, it's like, mate, can you give us 5 minutes? I'm not going to steal this entire cabinet worth of cards. Like, you don't need to sit and protect them. And it was just, it's a very, you know when you go into a shop in America, they chase you down?
Yeah, yeah,
and
they're
like desperate to help you. It was that, but I was like, mate, you look so young, you cannot, obviously can't be bothered being here. Why are you talking to us?
Why are you doing this? I mean, to be fair, it's the only part of the store he's probably into. The rest is just caravan magazines and, you know, and nonsense. Those little books you get, those experiences where you you pay 50 quid and you get a stroke and alpaca.
Like a red letter.
Red letter day. It's just that. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's been a lot of that, and it's been a lot of, there's actually a lot, there's a card shop in Glasgow called Static Games. Shout out, give me a discount. Where they sell like single cards that people have pulled and sold back to them that are super expensive. Every time we go in there, this guy just looks at us and you can practically see the dollar signs appear in his eyes. He's just like
licking his lips.
That gif with the man in the
red suit behind the tree.
Yeah. He's like, these marks are going to walk out here with like hundreds of pounds worth of cards.
Yeah,
and every single time we do, to the point where we went in on a Saturday and it was quite busy and we got offended by the fact that other people were in our card shop. Like,
this is where we get our cards.
It's like one guy bought like an 80p Snorlax and I was like, excuse me, Junior, can you please move out the way? I have to buy a £100 card of this lassie called Iono, who is known as a waifu. So that's been my life recently because, you know, Pete, playing video games for a living, occasionally you get so burnt out that the last thing you want to do is play a video game. Yeah. So until Starfield, I'm on the sabbatical from video games, and it's bloody wonderful.
But are you not worried that very much like when people stop taking heroin and they go back to take the heroin that they used to manage, their body's kind of not used to it anymore, and games will overwhelm you?
I mean, my first hit of heroin back will be Starfield, so that will be kind of like a world-ruining experience. But you know what? I've been there before. There's nothing out. There's barely anything out June, July, and August, so I'm just going to
enjoy it.
Enjoy myself. Yeah. The only games I've been playing are Power Wash Simulator, bit of AEW, and then bloody Pokemon cards.
Lovely
stuff. It's been glorious. You can send us your experiences with heroin to podcast at videogameschronicle.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The hot release this week, however way you want to take the word hot, is Arkane's Redfall. Now, you know what I say about Arkane? It's a developer that makes games the only games journalists like, so this one's going to be a banger. Lucy James, tell us about Redfall.
Oh, absolutely. Cut me to the core there, because I'm such a big fan of Arkane. Where do you begin with Redfall? Co-op looter shooter based in a fictional town in Massachusetts that's been taken over by vampires created by pretty similar to Deathloop in its brain fog premise. You know, like these visionaries wanted to take over the world and they become immortal by living the same day every day. When this time it's people who are rich and want to take over the world and just don't want to die, so they invent vampirism. So that's the basic setting, and then you're one of four characters. You can't change that character, by the way, unless you make a new one. You're one of four characters who's kind of either in Redfall when stuff goes to hell, or you kind of you come in to help clean things up. And honestly, that's about as much as I can tell you about the plot, because it's very uninteresting.
For an arcane game, that section of talking about an arcane game should be about 5 hours long.
There are cool glimpses at cool story stuff. However, you can tell, and I was playing this game, I played like 7-8 hours, and I played it by myself because it's an arcane game. Why would I want to play with other people? I hate other people. No, I'm kidding. But I didn't want to play it with other people, and so I wanted to kind of check it out on the merits of it being a solo game. And so, you know, as someone primed and waiting for the story, you know, similar to, you know, all the cutscenes are like these weird static moving kind of things, which I think they did in Dishonored, actually, which, to be fair to them, but like, nothing's interesting. All of the missions are, hey, go here, unlock a safe house, and then you have to transport yourself back to the firehouse. You have to transport yourself back to the main safe house because you can't pick up another mission from anywhere else in the world. You have to keep coming back. I think it's trying to, you know, in co-op, that would be like, okay, yeah, we'll come back to base. We'll get all our stuff. But it doesn't, it breaks the flow of the game. There's a lot of weird, like, design decisions where the looter shooter part of it just doesn't really fit. Like, I think the weapon system is poorly implemented. I also think that, you know, just having the weapons leveled, like they're giving you gold and stuff like at the very beginning, and it's like, but also even when you come across, you know, all the AI dumb as rocks, which is really, really sad. And I mean, that's to be forgiven. That's the thing. It's like, that's something I would forgive in a Dishonored, because at the same time, like, you want to get one over on the AI because you're stealthing around, you're doing all that stuff. But in an open world game where you're having these factions who are meant to be fighting each other, and then you can snipe one, and the guy will turn and go, huh? And then just, or you can hit a guy with a bullet and he goes, huh? And then just carries on doing what he's doing. It's disappointing. And then, yeah, just the vampires themselves, they seemingly only really have like one attack. There's different kinds of vampires, which is pretty cool. But the big boss was basically a Destiny boss. At least the first big boss was a Destiny boss. And I remember just thinking, oh, God, if I wasn't, like, pushing through to get to the second area, this is where I mean, I would have tapped out. It's just boring. And then, yeah, like, the open-ish world is just empty. And so it makes going back and forth to that bloody safe house all the more irritating, because I get to see the same bland, like, blank over and over and again.
You think it almost counts against it because it's made by Arkane, and that you kind of go in, you 100%. Know that they can do kind of certain things better. Yeah.
Well, there's really cool, so the vampire nests are cool, very Arkane, kind of like an alternate dimension that the vampires inhabit, and they're really cool and twisted, but I think that's obviously more the art direction side of it. There is this one, when you're learning about the Hollow Man and his origins, that is really cool, and that is where I was like, oh, this is Arkane, like this particular section, that's Arkane. And there was discourse, because obviously there was those reviews that leaked early, and someone in the line in the review was like, I can't believe Arkane made this. And then I saw some people go, well, that shouldn't factor into the review, blah blah blah, and it's like, no, it kind of should, because we know what Arkane are capable of, and then unfortunately they have this one, which is a dud. And it's, you know, the glimpses of greatness in there are just bogged down by all the crap. It just doesn't feel like a game they wanted to make.
Yeah, it's...
Well, not wanted to make. No, that's me projecting. But it's like, it doesn't feel like a game that's a good fit for that studio. It doesn't play to the studio's strengths.
It doesn't sound like you're describing a Harvey Smith game. Like, it sounds like you're describing any kind of trend-chasing looter schluter for the past couple of years. Now, there is a case for the defense. In typical Xbox-hating VGC style, we've somehow ended up with one of the highest scoring reviews for the game. My pal Jordan reviewed it because I have been deep in a fog. You can head over there to read his thoughts. It's pretty spread across the kind of, it ended up like Metacritic 64, which for Arkane might as well be fucking one, because Deathloop was, as it has the kind of reputation. Arcane games come out, they get amazing scores, and then they're in Smith's the next week for £10. But yeah, it was weird seeing this one get outside of the kind of Games Journal Twitter and just hit Xbox Twitter in general, because obviously that lot have been desperate for a win for ages. This seemed like it would be the one. And then when the big Xbox accounts are also like, this is fucked, I was like, okay, well, they've kind of let this get away from them. Not only that, it seems to perform really shit as well. I don't know if that's... Did you play PC or Xbox for this one?
So I played Xbox and it was completely fine. I don't think I had any... I mean, beyond the AI, nothing was very... Yeah, beyond the AI. However, I was talking to Jimmy Champagne, and he was like, somehow this game is deck verified. It should not be. And I was like, oh, God.
That makes me want to play it. If it's absolutely fucked on the Steam Deck.
Yeah, and then other people were saying, like, on PC, it just doesn't run very well at all. And yeah, I mean, there's other things. When you take into account the fact that it is meant to be played in co-op, the fact that only the host retains progression...
Yeah, that seems pretty important.
Yeah. It's just such a shame, man. I was, like, so bummed. I played a bunch of it over the weekend. I was just like, oh, man.
Yeah. But, you know, I doubt this spells the end for Arcane. Like, this was Arcane Austin, I think. I think Leon is working on something
different. Is this a service-type game? Have they said they're going to be working on this, or what? Are they?
They said that there are more characters coming. At the preview event that I went to.
I mean, it doesn't seem like a Fallout 76 type deal, you know, like where obviously that was a disaster at launch and they kind of kept building. There's loads of examples of that, right? But this doesn't seem to me a sort of game that they're still going to be creating stuff for in a year.
No.
Which,
yeah.
This seems like something
Leon, Leon team was Deathloop and then they're working on something else now.
Yeah. I wonder if this was just a case of them... When Microsoft acquired them, this was already too far along. They were like, we'll get this out.
Yeah,
and then the first proper one will probably be fucking Dishonored 3 at this point, because they're kind of... I think that's what... That would be the pop. That would be the big moment.
But I mean, this feels like... I mean, this is Bethesda trend chasing from 5 years ago.
Yeah. Few and games just, getting hit by that this year.
Yeah. I wonder if, you know, if we hadn't necessarily had the pandemic... Obviously, a lot of things would be different if we didn't have the pandemic, and this launched a couple years ago. I wonder if it would be a completely different situation.
You can't do that anymore, right? Like, I mean, I've said it before on this podcast. It reminds me of back in the day when, do you remember everyone was, like, scrambling to make their own World of Warcraft? And they all, like, sort of arrived when people had... That trend had gone. Like, people were just sort of done with the WoW MMO. And they just all kind of arrived and died, you know? Like, I mean, we're looking at... I mean... I thought this was done with Anthem, right? Like, are we still making...
Yeah, people are describing it as Arcane's Anthem, and I was like, oh my god, yeah. Oof.
That is absolutely brutal. I saw a really, really cutting subhead on one review. I apologize for not being able to cite who it was, but it was Redfall Review, good enough for Game Pass. That seems to be a kind of recurring theme with these games that are just, I mean, to quote Tim Gettys, swimming in sevens. Redfall isn't even a seven by most accounts, but do you think these kind of games coming to Game Pass taints the perception of the service? Because it's like, obviously it's amazing value, but you're not getting bangers on there necessarily.
I mean, think back, was it 2 years ago? Yeah, it was 2021 where they had that press conference and it was like every month something big coming to Game Pass. And like that was really cool to see, and it kind of made me feel like, oh yeah, I'm really glad I'm paying for Game Pass, just because, you know, obviously I have access to all of this stuff that I wanted to play, like Outer Wilds or whatever. And then I'm getting all this new stuff that's going to be great, and then some of the new stuff was 12 minutes. So, you know, it's such a shame, and I think, you know, we're at this weird point where there's incredibly heightened scrutiny on Xbox for reasons that we won't go into, because everyone's finished talking about it. It's just such a shame, and it's like, it does dilute the perception of the service. I mean, Game Pass, yeah, you can keep saying, and I say it, you know, it's the best deal in gaming, look at all this stuff you can get, but when was the last time something dropped on Game Pass day one and it was big? And incredible. Yeah. Big stuff launches on Game Pass day one. The first day that Halo Infinite multiplayer launched, that was a great day.
Yeah.
Because, like, infinite multiplayer, at least very early on before we got into the, like, keeping that game alive, it was incredible. Like, Halo's back, baby, and then very clearly became apparent that they didn't have any idea how to support that game. So yeah, I just think, you know, they need the hits, and they've dated and given a time to the Starfield Direct and for the Summer Game Fest thing, and so I really hope they kind of come to the table with some bangers, because like Forza's great, don't get me wrong,
that
Forza's
up being
consistently
one of the,
fantastic, but it's not.
You're dragging us ever closer to, down to the Xbox pit of us going off on one again.
Pokemon Sleep is real. Congratulations to VGC's 2023 Game of the Year. After all these years, it will track your sleep and assign a Pokemon that sleeps in a way similar to you. I go to you, Jeff. What Pokemon do you sleep like?
Just like a sputtering mess of just... and somehow there's smoke emitting from me the entire time. It's a really... I should probably see somebody about it, but, you know, that's how it's been going lately.
I'm not even joking. I've got two like plush Snorlaxes next to my bed that I sleep with.
See, that's the dream sleep. You want to sleep like Snorlax because you're just gone. You're like the deepest sleep possible.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just sleep in really awkward places as well, like the front of like an ER department.
Yeah.
You know, a bridge.
Me and Chris have to wake you up with a flute every morning to get you to actually start doing work. I feel like I'm more of a, I mean, this is a poor self-admission, but like a grimer. You just wake up, you're sweaty, you're like, this is the worst sleep of my life. Why is this room so fucking hot? I didn't even put the heating on, like... I feel like the Pokemon Sleep app won't be that disgusting. It's also a bit insidious because they said we're going to put Pokemon Go compatibility into it, and I'm on the Pokemon Go subreddit with those special people, and they were like, this company already takes hundreds of pounds out of my pocket every month. I'm not going to be sleeping for Pokemon Go.
I don't even know what this is. What is it? What is it?
It's like a sleep tracking app that you put it on next to your bed. It showed someone with their phone plugged in on their pillow, which is a huge fire hazard. I'm surprised they made it into an official Pokemon video. And it tracks your sleep and goes, oh, you slept like a fucking Bulbasaur.
So they don't mind putting a fire hazard in their videos, but if you change the dimensions of the Pokemon,
right,
you'll have a legal team.
Like, that legal team is going to be focused on like people with brain tumors from sleeping next to a phone for 10 years.
You, I mean, I worked for Future Publishing, right? You have never seen so much activity from a legal team than when official Nintendo magazine put an unofficial render of Pikachu in an issue.
So they did this Pokemon Presents, and it was on the 27th anniversary of Pokemon. And me being the constant optimist, I was thinking, they've just put those Game Boy games on Switch. Someone tore open the ROMs, and all of the Pokemon games are in there ready to go. So it was like, this is the most obvious thing in the world. Just say they're on there. They teased them by putting the original Red and Green soundtrack out. Nothing. Didn't even fucking mention them. They ended it with like Scarlet and Violet DLC that looks cool, yeah. I suppose, but
I punched out of Pokemon a good long time ago, but it's crazy that Pokemon Sleep, and they had to wait for phone technology to evolve. The funny thing is that, you know, like iOS devices already do sleep tracking that they could tap into, but instead they're no, leave it on your pillow, or if you bought our cool wristband or whatever, you can use that to track the sleeping too. It's like, come on.
I mean, are you going to get a Pokemon Go Plus, which is the actual name of this new peripheral? They did a study. You remember the Pokewalker that came with the remix of Gold and Silver on the Nintendo DS?
Yes.
There was a study that said that was the best pedometer, like, the best pedometer around, that because it was just so accurate for whatever reason.
Right.
ER doctors ripping these things out. Like.
There was a run on these Pokewalkers. Funnily enough, if you have a complete version of either of those games with the Pokewalker still, that's mad money.
Really?
Yes.
Because Nintendo looked into that, right? Didn't Nintendo have their sleep thing they were working on for ages? That was an Iwata project. It never came out.
The thing that you put on your finger or whatever.
I don't think that was the same thing, right? Was that
the vitality sensor? Thing? Yeah.
I thought the sleep thing might have come from a patent or something. They were talking about it like every year. Whenever they kind of did a shareholder thing, they'd always ask, like, where's the sleep thing? They'd be like, yeah, it's coming.
A longer development cycle than Beyond Good and Evil 2, but Pokemon Sleep is finally here.
Maybe that's why Beyond Good and Evil isn't out. maybe it's a sleep game.
Yeah. You sleep just like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who sleeps soundly as he asks you to provide music for this game for free.
God, I forgot about that.
VGC, a video games podcast, is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.